Welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, a conversation on how you can achieve retirement security, financial freedom, and the new American dream through rental property investments. And here's your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse.
All right, welcome back. This is episode number 6 of the Rent Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse. Thanks for joining us today. Really excited for today's guest. On the Rent Estate Podcast, we're talking about gaining financial freedom, retirement security, and just overall financial independence through single family real estate investments, and doing interviews with successful real estate investors and property management professionals of all sorts to really try and mine out some of the gold that they have stuck up in their brains there. And hopefully, whether you're a new investor or a seasoned investor, you've got lots of things you can take away. So if you're tuning in for the first time and you don't know who Renters Warehouse is, or you might not know who I am, I've been investing in real estate for 18 years and have been helping others do the same for well over a decade now. And Renters Warehouse really exists to be a guide for those looking to really do the same and who are looking to seek financial independence, financial freedom, and retirement security. And we believe that all investors deserve a partner who can help them execute on this investment strategy with ease. We want to cut through the confusion, the complexity that can sometimes come with it. And it's with this mindset that we created a process that's helped over 50,000 real estate investors and now manage over 22,000 homes across the US, making us the largest real estate investment company in America. So it's with that that we really try and take this knowledge into the podcast, share success stories, tips, tricks, and hopefully avoid investors, help them avoid the pitfalls that can come with this asset class, the lost time, the headaches, so that you can achieve that true financial freedom. Today, we have Todd Jabel on the podcast. Todd is the Chief Technology Officer here at Renters Warehouse, and this is going to be a special podcast because we're going to be talking about single-family rental technology, which if you're in the single-family rental space, I think everyone digs the technology. There's a lot coming out. That's going to be pretty excited. And Todd's a true tech visionary. He's been in this space for, I think, really since it's become a true institutionalized asset class,
yeah,
right?
More
long
or less.
Time. And so hopefully we're going to talk about a lot of fun things. This is going to be a wide-ranging discussion on technology and hopefully talk about some of the new tools and tricks out there for DIY landlords, property management professionals, all that stuff. So with that, Todd, yes. Welcome on the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Why don't we just start up by telling the audience a little bit about yourself, how you ended up in the SFR, single-family rental world, and why the heck you do it?
So I am a techie through and through. Always been a very, very big technology guy. Was more in the financial services space, understood real estate from an investment perspective a little bit, but really not the property management side. Opportunity came up. I was working for a hedge fund here in Minnesota. They were looking for a CTO for SFR REIT. What's an SFR REIT, right?
Right. It didn't exist back then.
Did not exist. We ended up being the first public company in the space. I did a little research. It looked like a cool opportunity. And the biggest thing was it was a blank whiteboard, right? From a techie's perspective, that's pretty cool. Took that on, got into the asset class, understood that scale was going to be the challenge.
Right.
Had no idea just how much of a challenge, and really didn't understand on the property management side just what a challenge that is.
Right.
The cool thing is, tackling that challenge is a technology problem in many, many ways. So it was just, I've had a blast in this space. There is almost endless opportunity for, process efficiency improvements and just really filling gaps.
Which not is just a total dream for a tech geek, right?
It's fantastic.
I mean, solving challenges, making things more efficient. And
yep.
You're right, there's lots of opportunity here. So it must be a tech guy's dream.
It really is. I think people even in the space marvel at how geeked up I get about the technology of this space.
Right.
But I love it. It really is. It's a fantastic, fantastic challenge.
That's awesome. Well, that's why we want to have you on and learn a little bit about what's going on out there in the technology world. And, you started with Renters Warehouse, 9 months ago?
November. Yep.
9 months ago-ish. And we brought Todd on to help us solve all those problems that he's talking about. Continue to be able to scale our business and really offer better tools to our clients and to our investors and a lot of new and exciting things in the pipeline here at Renters Warehouse. We appreciate you joining the team. It's been fantastic.
Thank you.
But Todd and I actually met. You mentioned this as we were sitting down for the podcast. We actually met 10 years ago.
That's right.
Unbeknownst to me.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, my small window into the industry was when I first moved up to Minnesota 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I rented a house here. Then I rented my house back in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember well, the guy I rented that house from here in Minnesota, cause it was you, and you were just getting started in the space.
Yeah.
And I had no idea why somebody was so excited about this whole renting homes thing.
Right.
Right. I didn't know much about the space. I really didn't know about it. Certainly as an industry, certainly didn't know where I was headed.
Yeah.
But I do remember just how excited you told me all about it. You were very excited about what was going on. And I also remembered your card.
Yeah, what do you remember about the card?
It was the Renter's Warehouse Pink.
That's right.
And you don't see that very often.
That's right.
But I remembered I loved our conversation, very business-oriented conversation about the space. And I learned a ton just in, I think we were redlining the lease.
Right.
And I learned a ton just in that little outing.
Well, that's awesome. I've always loved hearing that story because you'd mentioned it to me when we met more formally a couple of years ago at a conference or something like that.
Yep.
You said, you rented me my house. And I remember the house. And I kind of remember you and your family a little bit, but I wouldn't have specifically called it out because I rented a lot of houses to a lot of people.
Sure.
So, you know, nothing about you. But, so anyway, that's funny. So you point is you've been in this space for a long time. You mentioned you worked for one of the original REITs that went public, REIT that owned investment vehicle that came together and bought a ton of single family homes in the real estate downturn. How many homes did end up having when you left?
They had 10,000 when I left. At the time, that was quite a bit.
Yeah.
They were the first, like I said, public in the space. And then some of the others came in and ended up being a little bigger. I think the biggest now is 80-some thousand
82, 83,000, something like that. So you went from, did you start with them when they had zero?
Zero. More or less.
You guys went from zero to 10,000 in what time frame?
About 5 years.
5 years.
Yep.
Okay. That's a lot.
Yep.
A lot of infrastructure to scale, a lot of things to do. So that's exciting. How has single family rental or SFR technology changed since it really became more of an institutional asset class, right? I talk a lot about that it has become institutionalized over the last decade. And I think that's great because a lot of attention and time and focus and money is coming into the space, allowing us to do more and be more sophisticated in that kind of stuff. And you've seen this firsthand. So how do you think the technology has really changed over the last 7-8 years?
Really great question. So I think, you know, one thing is there was none when I started.
Sure.
Nothing, you know, specific to the space. It was not only underserved from a service and a vendor perspective, it was unserved more or less. People were trying to take maybe multifamily technologies and sort of fit that square peg into the SFR round hole. And so there was a lot of piecing together of small little pieces of other technologies. And vendors were getting into the space, but they didn't understand it. Nobody understood it. We didn't know how to value it. We didn't know how to handle the investment side. We didn't know how to handle the property management side. And we were making it up and building a lot of things and building them from scratch.
Right.
And I'd say over the years, vendors have had a huge impact. Now we've got a lot of different technologies out there that are available for the space on both sides. Whether it's as service or it's stuff that you can, you know, bring in-house. But they continue to mature more and more. So they're no longer trying to say, hey, we have this thing for a related industry and we'll make it work for you.
Right.
They're really understanding the space. And so property management systems, property accounting is more well understood. The need to be able to invest in this asset class, do that research. Understand how to look for things like yield across multiple properties in a portfolio or across markets or whatever to find the property you're looking to buy. You know, things like that didn't exist back then.
Right.
And they've been built over time. And I think one big thing that made this asset class from a technology perspective really be able to scale was at the time it was cloud was just being embraced as a viable enterprise option, right? And mobility was just coming online as an enterprise or at least a business tool, not just a, you know, a personal tool. And then service orientation, like all these vendors and all these products were really focused on, you know, pay as you go, the ability to scale up and scale down quickly and easily. If we had to build data centers and use old technology to do this in the past, it wasn't cost effective.
Right.
It would have been really tough to do. Yeah. So the convergence of those three things has really been a powerful thing for this asset class because we had to scale quickly.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly. You know, we built more technology, I think, as an industry and changed more over those 5 to 7 years than a lot of industries have over decades.
Yeah, it's been really, really interesting to watch and see. And I am thankful we don't have to have a server room full of servers sitting here in the building. And
As can
leverage that cloud, right? And so that's interesting. When we were talking about that, you mentioned multifamily and how multifamily, early on in the single family rental space, we were trying to take multifamily technology, multifamily software. I know we did when we started Renters Warehouse. We were using products that were really designed for the multifamily world and trying to get it implemented here. Because one of the philosophies we had starting the business was we can make this more efficient. We can make it better, more transparent, leverage technology, because no one was using technology in this space, right? It's been around a long time before the institutions came with mom and pop property managers, smaller local regional property managers. But a lot, oftentimes 10 years ago, it was Excel spreadsheets, paper and pencil, ledgers. People are mailing checks in. You know, I remember opening hundreds of checks at the first, second, third of the month and entering them into a database, right, to track rent collection. So there was no tech. And so we went out and looked for it. And to your point, it was really, we were pulling stuff out of the multifamily space. And I think a lot of people don't understand why that doesn't really work. Like, why can't you just take a multifamily product and put it into the single family world? From your perspective or from a tech perspective, what's the difference really between multifamily property management versus what we call rent estate or, you know, the single family world.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people didn't understand for a long time, not only where it didn't work, but where it did work. Right. So you had to figure both out.
Right.
But the big difference is, well, there's a few. One is, you know, in single family, no two products are the same. Right. Whereas multifamily, you go to look at you know, a condo or apartment or whatever, if you're buying or And you look at maybe one of three or four layouts, but they're all common. They've got the same materials inside, the same flooring, the same utilities, probably, you know, appliances and everything. That's not so. If anybody's ever done evaluation, you know, for single family, so you try to do comps, right? Yeah. Even if you're just going to buy a house, no two are alike. So very difficult there to sort of fill that gap and understand how to understand one product versus another. And then it's geographically dispersed, right? So something we always called in the early days, constantly we're talking about windshield time,
right?
It was very impactful to be able to do things efficiently. You've got to get from one to the other. And in some cities, that's a challenge, a real challenge. You know, as part of that, you know, you talked about pen and paper.
Yeah.
Right. So you have people going to these houses to do inspections and you try to make the inspections consistent and whatnot. They were using pen and paper and writing down what was going on at these houses. When they first got there, there was nothing, you know, you couldn't really bust out a laptop and get a big spreadsheet open and start typing it in while you're walking around a house.
Right.
You know, people would try to record it, but then they'd go home and they'd be typing it in or writing it down. Anyways. So it's amazing that it truly did start with pen and paper in a lot of ways. And people walking houses today, you know, they got mobile apps that they're in there and they're talking to them or they're typing into them, they're taking pictures, and it all comes together in one place.
Right.
So it's really interesting. The other thing about the geographical dispersion is, you know, when you're at a multifamily property, you kind of know what's going on,
right?
You deploy somebody to the building and they check everything out or they make changes and you can have a project hit every single unit that's vacant, whatnot. With single family, it's almost impossible to know what's going on when it's going on.
Sure.
And the ability to get that data real time and integrate it with your back office data as well is an extremely powerful thing that it took a long time for us to develop.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Yeah, it's you're talking about windshield time back in your early days in this. And it brings me back to when we first started the business and I was down in Phoenix running our Phoenix office. Another gentleman, one of the early Renters Warehouse guys, my business partner, Donovan and I, we'd have the office line where people would call to rent a home or a new client or whatever it might be. You know, it'd ring to both of our cell phones. Like, that was advanced technology back then. So either one of us could answer the phone. And whoever was able to answer the phone took the phone and generally took the appointment, whether it was showing a home or meeting a new prospective client or an owner or whatever it was. And this was in Phoenix, and Phoenix is big, very geographically diverse. And we would drive hundreds of miles a day, no exaggeration. Yeah. And we'd crisscross each other because he was up in Glendale and I was down in Santan Valley. And then he'd get a call in Santan Valley and drive from Glendale to Santan Valley. And I'd drive up to Scottsdale or something, back and forth. And we finally, I'm not that smart. So it was months of this before we realized there's got to be a better way. I mean, we're both putting 500 miles a day on our cars here, trying to run all over the place and do this. And so we started implementing just some other basic technology of trying to figure out how to break up appointments by region or whatever it was, right? It's just funny. But I remember back when it one day came to us, well, this is really silly to be both driving constantly around this, but there was no great way for us to, we were a new business, right? Just kind of, you do what you got to do to figure it out.
Right.
That windshield time's killer though. Hours and hours in the car being unproductive does not help.
That's exactly right.
Right, and that's the challenge with single family versus multifamily for sure. So you just mentioned though, getting real-time information on a house or an apartment building, right? We can know a lot more of maybe what's going on in a building than we can in a home and everything around here. And we hear at all the conferences we go to or the articles we read or the podcasts we listen to that business intelligence and artificial intelligence and big data and all this stuff that's coming out is going to change the game. And I know you and I have talked about this, so I think this. Here's where you really get excited. You really start geeking out on this stuff for sure. But so where does business intelligence, artificial intelligence, big data, all that kind of stuff, how does that, where's that its place in single family?
Yeah.
Where, you know, how are they going to make a difference?
Yeah. So it definitely has a place in single family. It has a place everywhere. And the interesting thing about single family is we are at such a baseline data capability, right? So if you've ever like tried to look at the MLS and really compare it against the real statistics of a product,
right?
So you look at a home in like three different sites and you might see three different square footages, or one of them says it has four bedrooms, one says it has three, right?
Drives me crazy.
Drives us all crazy, yes. Right? And it's getting better. It's definitely getting better. And pulling that data all together and being able to sort of coalesce sort of like a common understanding of that data has been very important, and we're moving more and more in that direction. You know, that those basics of a house is a very simplistic example,
right?
But understanding the transactions, understanding things like the yield of a home with all the different variables that go into it, and pulling data together from multiple sources to understand that, it's a big deal. And so you think about that on the property side, but there's also residents, right? You want to make sure you put the right people in the right home. And so learning about folks as you're getting residents into homes, learning about what somebody wants to buy, you know, if they're investing in these homes. That's where the artificial intelligence is coming in. It's just barely getting started. People call a lot of things artificial intelligence,
right?
But truly learning and creating artificial intelligence around the decision making that goes into some of these things is really just starting to take off, because we're just starting to get the base data in place.
Right.
There's still work to be done on that base data.
Right.
But then we get to artificial intelligence, and then there's a lot more like automation. Right. So then you start to automate some of these decisions, and then you get really powerful,
right,
and you get really efficient. So it definitely has a place. If you talk to the marketing folks and then you start to talk about big data, I think that's where they get excited, because one of the things about property management is it's hard to, or single family especially, it's hard to know what your tenant's feeling about things or thinking about things. You can, you know, go and survey them and whatnot, but you get, you know, so many responses. But to really go out there and see sentiment, you know, online,
right,
using social media and things like that, gathering all that data and pulling it in, that's a big data challenge. That's going to be very impactful over time as well.
Right. The marketing folks that are in the room with us today just lit up. They're like, oh my gosh, they're talking about us on the show. It's fantastic. So, you know, all that stuff you just talked about is amazing. And that's what we're building here at Renters Warehouse. And that's one of the advantages of coming on and building your portfolio with a large scale property manager and investment service provider like Renters Warehouse. Is this is what we're doing. This is where we're investing our resources, our time, our talents into building technology that's going to make the business of managing properties more efficient, but also more transparent, and more real-time information for property owners and tenants alike, smooth out maintenance processes, all that kind of stuff, and ultimately be able to have smaller scale investors, what we might call a retail or an entrepreneurial investor who has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 homes, be able to leverage the same technology that an institutional client or an institutional owner with 85,000 homes can have, right? Because they're building that for themselves and we're trying to build it for the masses to be able to really push that out. And I think that's going to be game changing and something real special when we get that done. But in the meantime, if you're a DIY investor, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, which is a vast majority of those that invest in single family rentals, because they might have one and they say, you know, it's down the road, I'm going to lease it, I can do the management, that kind of stuff. How does the technology changes in the space help that person, the person who's the DIYer, that maybe they're not going to be paying to build big data machines and their own artificial intelligence? How can they leverage all these tools and what's out there maybe for them that's been changing lately?
Yep. No, that's a great question. So I think, a lot of what's out there is the things you'd expect, like their ability to pay online, for potential residents to fill out an application and fill out their screening and have that done quickly and in real time, and to get that data pulled together, right? Mm-hmm. So to provide that reporting and information to the owners, whether they own one or 100 properties, right? And see that all in one mm-hmm. place is definitely helpful. But I think, you think about maintenance, the ability to understand, what are the maintenance requests that are coming through? What are the vendors doing at the house? What is the assessment that's going on? Knowing that thing, that kind of information in real time and being able to either automate the decisions, mm-hmm. Delegate the decisions, or make the decisions quickly.
Right.
That's hugely impactful to getting things more efficient.
And all this stuff starting to roll out for investors of all sizes, which I think is just amazing. All right, so we'll switch gears a little bit. IoT, or the Internet of Things, which I frankly had to have you explain to me what the heck the Internet of Things was, pretty sure. So let's talk about what that is for those who might not be as up to speed as I wasn't. What is IoT? What's some examples of IoT? And how powerful is that going to be for us?
Right. First of all, very. I love this topic.
Yes.
I think it's got a huge place in this industry. So IoT, the way I look at it is it's the automation of your home, right? So it's the cameras, the thermostats, the door locks, maybe your refrigerator, things like that.
So we're talking like Nest locks and cameras and thermostats and that kind of stuff.
That's right. Okay. Yep. And, some of those vendors I spoke of earlier on that were in the space early and trying to learn how it worked, mm-hmm. There's a few vendors in the IoT space that have done a really good job of growing with this industry.
Right.
You got folks like Point Central and you got Rently that started out doing self-showings. Mm-hmm. So the ability to just go to a house as a potential tenant and get into the house and look at it yourself without having to have a leasing agent come.
Right.
Be very powerful early on. The ability to have the smart locks where you can change the lock code between tenants or between vendors that are going to do work on the home. The thermostat allows you to see what's going on in the home and maybe turn things up and down as needed to be more efficient there. Those are some basics, and they've put some really good technologies in place that allow property management companies and REITs and things like that to do this in a cost-effective way.
Right.
It does need to get more cost-effective. There's a little bit larger point of entry on that than some of the other technologies, but it's moving in a very good direction. But where I see it, where I get really excited about it is the ability to understand the health of your home.
Right.
Right? And what that means to me is being proactive about an HVAC unit, right? So whether it's when you change your filter, having something that knows that filter was changed, something mm-hmm. that's measuring the circulation and airflow mm-hmm. against what that thermostat is reading
right.
to know the efficiency of it, something that knows when there's issues with flow of water through pipes or a leak. And some of this stuff is out there. In fact, a lot of this stuff is out there even in a retail capacity.
Right.
But when you take all of those different things and put them together, it does cost quite a bit. The way it's priced right now,
right,
and I think to package that in to understand the health of the home is certainly the direction of things. That's not only good for the owners, it's good for the tenants, it's good for everybody involved to know what's happening before it happens. You can plan out your expenses, you can minimize your expenses, and you can avoid catastrophe, certainly.
Right. So that's the kind of the ultimate preventative maintenance, right?
It is.
Really understanding what's going on with your big ticket items, and hopefully be able to address it, service it before it breaks, knowing that maybe the efficiency's down or something as simple as the air filter hasn't been changed in a year.
Right.
Right? Like tenants are supposed to be doing, and proactive management of that helps, but it's always nice to really be able to keep digital record of that kind of stuff and understand day-to-day what's going on.
I mean, imagine a car today that you didn't know there was an issue until it broke down on the side of the road.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Great example.
Right?
Yeah.
So if your home could be that proactive and give you those signals that you get on your dashboard that you're
service
low on
home
oil.
Soon.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Service the home soon. Interesting. Yeah, that IoT is going to be very, very exciting. And as the cost comes down and more people can use it. But if you're an investor with one home and you wanted to know what's going on in your property, it's not cheap, but
nope.
It's not very, very expensive either. And the amount of money you can save by not having to replace your furnace because you did some proactive maintenance or catching that water leak early, right? Those kind of things, I think, go a long ways. So a little bit of an investment can save you money in the future, right?
Absolutely, without a doubt. And it's a value to the tenant as well, right?
Right.
So it's good to have the capability to control things and know what's going on at the home as well.
That's awesome. All right, so the obligatory question, as we're wrapping up here on the podcast for this episode, is do you own any single-family rental property? And if you don't, is it part of your investment plans for the future?
So I would say officially, no, I don't. I do what was going to be a single family rental property, and I've done a couple of moves here in the last year that have kept that off the market. But it will definitely be part of where I look to invest in the future. The interesting thing is, myself personally, there was never a good, easy way to do single family rental. When
right.
When I rented out my house in Chicago 10 years ago,
yep.
If there was a problem. First of all, Renter's Warehouse was not in Chicago at the time, I want to say.
That's correct. Yeah.
If they were, I would have been able to use a company and probably keep the home. And I ended up selling it because I was, an absentee landlord, so to speak.
Did you use a property management company when you rented that home in Chicago?
I didn't.
Did.
I had family
and
in the area.
How was that experience for you?
It was terrible. I went back often anyways because I have family back in the area, and so I did a lot of the work myself.
Yeah.
And I could have family kind of check on it, but when I wasn't around, it was very difficult. So
that's great.
Wouldn't do that again.
Well, we're looking forward to helping you with your single family rental investments and growing that portfolio over time. And hey, thanks so much for joining us, Todd. This was an awesome episode. I think it's so fun to talk about the future of where this industry is going, and technology is going to be a big piece of that. I know it's going to be a big piece of what we're doing here at Renter's Warehouse. So hopefully you enjoyed it. I know we did. I'm sure the viewers did as well. And if you did enjoy the podcast, please support it by subscribing to it, like it, share it with your friends, your family, make comments. Just share it out there. We're putting this together to really share knowledge about single family rentals and how you can empower your future and your financial future through single family rentals. And if you're looking for help with real estate investments or making a real estate investment plan, check us out at renterswarehouse.com. Give your local office a call or submit a question on the website, and an advisor will reach out to you right away. So thanks again for checking out the podcast. Support us if you will, and we'll see you next time for episode 7.
You've been listening to the Rent Estate Podcast with your host, Kevin Ortner. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to rentestate.com for a free rental property analysis and learn how you can list, invest, and rent all under one roof.